We are back to address our business agenda. We've now reached our last three agenda items for today, O, P, and Q, all relating to AOC restructuring. And before we take up those items, I would like to make a few brief comments. When I became Chief Justice, an informed and comprehensive look at the AOC was one of my first priorities. I would have requested the review in good times or bad times because it made good business sense to do so. I needed to educate myself about the administrative aspect of my new roles as chair of council and head of the branch. The in-depth review of the AOC has achieved many of my objectives, including the promotion of transparency, accountability, and efficiency. Through a deliberative and open process with public comment, the recommendations of the Strategic Evaluation Committee became judicial council directives under the Executive and Planning Committee. Progress can be tracked on the California Court's website and at our judicial council meetings. Three members of the original Strategic Evaluation Committee sit on this council to ensure progress. The AOC is providing excellent service under harsh budget conditions like the courts. To the judicial council, the courts, and the public we all serve. I'm grateful to the SEC and to E&P and the AOC leadership and staff that are successfully implementing one of my first priorities. So with that, we'll take up item O and welcome Judge Jarr and Mr. Ken Couch, AOC Human Resources Services Office. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. This is a matter, the class and comp study vendor options determination to be made today, that is a time of the essence matter. The agency is, in effect, frozen in place until a class and comp study has been completed so that we can begin moving forward, even though, of course, every day is a dynamic day. So the sooner we are able to resolve this important question agency-wide, the better for our progress toward restructuring, not to mention customer service. And with that, I'll turn the presentation over to Ken Couch, who runs our HR office.
Thank you, Judge. Chief, members of council, good afternoon. The agenda item before you today, as the judge said, is about options to complete the judicial council directed classification of comp review for the entire AOC. Just by way of background, we actually initiated the beginning phase of the classic comp review back in August of 2012. We selected 39 classifications encompassing approximately 225 employees, and that was primarily for a Fair Labor Standards Act designation. To put that in perspective, we currently have 183 classifications in the AOC and about 718 regular employees. Now, those preliminary findings are actually scheduled to be reviewed with the Executive Office March 19th, and that's the initial phase. Further in background, at your August meeting, Directive 19 was passed by this council. Essentially directed that based on current staffing and expertise levels, we should consider an outside entity to conduct the classification and compensation review. Now, we have three options for your consideration this afternoon. Option one is the organization-wide evaluation by AOC staff. This is essentially what we've been doing since August of last year, and this would entail that we would complete a top-to-bottom review of the entire AOC for both classification and compensation purposes and conclude any Fair Labor Standards Act issues. Now, the pros of option one, obviously it's the most cost-effective. There are no additional costs other than staff costs. Another pro for option one is it maintains the timeline. The timeline for option one, we expect to have the complete class and comp study results to the Executive Office for their review and any policy determinations in December of 2013. And another pro for option one is it would enhance our ability for future maintenance of a proper structure. And just a note about that, anybody who's taken a look at the AOC classification structure, and if you're in the classification business, would probably wonder how it ever became to look like it does today. Part of that is we've never accomplished a top-to-bottom classification review. We've had starts and stops for either budgetary reasons or any other particular reason, but we've made incremental adjustments, and the law of unintended consequences certainly applies to our classification structure as it currently. If we do the top-to-bottom review, And then we are the ones who perform the original review, which makes the other 2 or 3 year update much easier to maintain by your HR staff. Mm-hmm. Some of the cons of having us do the top review, there could be a perceived lack of objectivity. I'm extremely confident in the HR staff that we will provide a very objective analysis based on empirical evidence that we collect so the executive office can make policy decisions. But I understand that there could be a perceived lack of objectivity because we would essentially be reviewing our own classes and I'd be reporting to my bosses. Another con, if we do it, is it could be some delayed service delivery. Let me talk about that just briefly. That's essentially resource allocation. This is a huge undertaking to do a top-to-bottom review like we're talking about, the most comprehensive review that you could possibly perform of any organization, particularly of this size and magnitude. So it's not that we would not be able to do anything but the class and comp. It's just that we would have to prioritize. Now, the cost, as I indicated earlier, there's no additional cost. I think some people might refer to this as sunk cost. We're not going to have to hire additional staff to do this. Our current staff are trained in this, so there's no outside consultant cost. And as I mentioned when I began, we could stay to the projected initial deadline of December of 2013. And I think Justice Miller mentioned earlier in his remarks, there are actually 14 judicial council directives that are tied to the completion of the classification of comp study. Now, option two is the same type of review would be performed entirely by an outside entity, an outside vendor. Same type of work would be done, but we would essentially just work as project managers and we'd farm the entire thing out, including FLSA recommendations. Now, a pro to option two is it certainly answers the question of objectivity. We would be paying an outside vendor to provide objective analysis and recommendations on which the executive office would make their policy calls. It certainly could reduce any perception of bias. And in the third bullet, it certainly would decrease demand on the limited resources that we have in HR. Now, the cons on option two, it is cost prohibitive. It is the most expensive of the two options, and we'll go over that in a slide in just a moment. There could be a loss of time and resources already invested. When I started out, I indicated we'd actually started in August of last year. So we have 6 or 7 months invested in the type of review HR recommended, which was a comprehensive top-to-bottom. Depending on who the outside vendor who was awarded the contract through any RFP, some of that information, some of those resources might have been wasted. And then the fourth bullet is the reverse of my earlier one. If we hire an outside vendor who uses a methodology for job evaluation that is different than what HR uses, we would have to train ourselves to be able to maintain that structure in the future. The cost for option two, we have three projections of cost here from three different sources. The first one is $750,000 to do a comprehensive classification and compensation study. And that information, I believe, was provided in 2010 by a consultant to the SEC. In 2009, we actually had gone through the late 2008, early 2009, we'd gone through the entire request for proposal process to do the type of study that we're talking about today, not quite as comprehensive as we have in mind for this one. We were getting ready to award a contract, and then the budget issues came up, and we could not award the contract at all. That estimate was about $400,000, and the top three bidders at that time ranged between $374,000 and $950,000 in 2009 dollars. And then late in 2012, we did a request for information where we can't get as specific as you do in a request for proposal, asking some of the top vendors who had the capability to do a study like this, how much would you charge in 2012, 2013? And we received a range from between $100,000 and $750,000. And then option two, the timeline, because of the time necessary to do a new RFP and ramp-up time if the new vendor is not at all familiar with the AOC, the time for completion of option two would be pushed back to September of 2014. And the last option, option three, is a hybrid, where we would do the comprehensive classification and compensation analysis, but we would hire an outside vendor to do oversight because we'd like to use the HAY methodology, which is a proprietary point factor job evaluation methodology. It's the most objective methodology out there. It's also the most time-consuming, but it provides the most objective analysis on classification. So we would hire the Hay Group to oversee our use of their type of methodology. And in addition to that, we would task the Hay Group with actually performing the classification and compensation analysis for the executive class, or the managers above and the AOC. We would continue to do supervisor and below, and we'd have the same methodology applied to both. Now, the pros of the hybrid method, option three, as I mentioned, the Hay Group uses, they developed a proprietary method, which we currently use and our staff is trained in. I look at it this way, we get one chance to do a top-to-bottom classification of comp review. And one of the things that we did when we started in August, rather than sending every employee their class spec and saying, tell me whether this is what you do, or tell me whether this is most of what you do, or tell me whether this is none of what you do, we sent these employees a position description questionnaire and said, tell me what you do every day. Don't look at your class spec. Tell me what you do every day. Then we reviewed those position description questionnaires with the supervisors. Because our intent on this is not so much to make sure that at this point that they're working in their class. It's what are you doing every day? Then at some point will we need to reconcile that with what it is the AOC needs to have done every day. So by using option three, a hybrid, we'll continue with that methodology. And as I said, our staff is trained on the use of that methodology. And this would also enhance objectivity. We would not be the final arbiter on the compensation and the classification. The outside group that developed the methodology would have to verify that we are, in fact, applying it correctly. Now, the cons for the hybrid method, there are some costs involved. Based on the request for information that we issued late last year, our projected cost for this hybrid option would be between $100,000 and $120,000 to do the limited work that we're asking the vendor to do, which is to verify that we are applying the methodology correctly and to actually perform the classification review. And this would include a customized salary survey for the manager and above classification. The other con on this one, as I indicated earlier, is it's the complexity of the methodology. It is the most difficult and time-consuming to apply, but we believe it is also the best method to do this. It costs, as I indicated, approximately $100,000 to $120,000. And on this hybrid method, the projected completion deadline is, again, December of 2013. I'm optimistic that if this option is chosen, we may be able to come in a little bit earlier. But I'm a little hesitant and over-promising. So December 13, 2013 is the target date for option one and option three. This next one, this is just a summary of the three options before you this afternoon. The methodology that we've talked about, the projected timeline, and then the cost range. So you can see it all as like a picture. And, Chief, that concludes my presentation, and I'm sure either the judge or I would be glad to entertain questions.
Thank you, Ken. Justice Hall.
Excuse me. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Couch, I was wondering, you mentioned that the Hayes methodology is proprietary. I understand that. If the HR people who would be involved in this, if they're trained in that methodology, and then at some point down the line there was a need to take another look, amend, revisit this subject, would we be obligated to pay once again to Hayes Group to use that methodology?
No, they actually train our people on the methodology, and they'll train anybody, and they can use it, just other vendors can't use it.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
Justice Miller?
I wanted to go to the last line on page 6 of the part that says option 3. It says the Hay Group would, and then there's three bullet points. And the third one says provide oversight and validation of HR's application of the Hay Group proprietary job evaluation methodology and the compensation structure for the classifications of supervisors and below. Can you tell me what that means?
I apologize. That's a little worded. Under that option, we would do the supervisors and below, and they would verify that we applied their methodology correctly. The Hay Group would do manager and above, and we wouldn't be verifying what they do. So,
how did they validate that? What is that?
using the point factor analysis that they developed, we would show them how we applied their own methodology to develop. Because what they do very quickly is, instead of whole job comparison, where you compare one job against another job, the Hay methodology is you break it up to its most important component parts, and then you value those against other important component parts of the job. And we would demonstrate to the Hay group that we've correctly applied their methodology.
And so when it says they provide oversight, does that mean then that they would come back to us or to you and say, we think you did it correctly and adequately right? Or would they maybe come back and say, we don't think you did it right, and here's what you need to do, or we're not even sure you can do it yourself, and you need to consider hiring us or somebody else?
I think it's probably one of the first two options you presented. I mean, since our staff is trained on this, our intent is we would do it, we plan on doing it correctly, and we would verify with Hay that we have applied it correctly. Now, it's entirely possible that they could say, in this particular classification, we think you inappropriately applied this or incorrectly applied this. But it's not our intent under the option that they would come back and say, no, you've done the entire thing wrong, you have to hire us to do the whole thing.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is as part of that, if we were to select that option, I guess what I'm saying is I would like from them, who are the experts, to tell us what I just said. I mean, that you did it correctly and right, and that we can be satisfied with that, or something else needs to be done. I mean, I'd want some report back to the council to make sure that the portion that you had undertaken had fit within their model and had been done correctly.
Absolutely. Because if you choose this option, we'll have to sign a contract with Hay, and it'll have deliverables. And one of the deliverables will be that there is a report provided that says, yes, you did it right, or no, you didn't.
And so the council at that time could decide, okay, we spent $100,000 and we're not happy with how that supervisor and below portion was done, and now we want to hire someone outside to do that.
Yes.
Report would be part of this.
Judge Earl?
I just had a couple of questions, Ken. It sounds like the HR division has been kind of continuously working on this since about August, and that would have included, I suspect, getting trained by the Hay Group. Is that correct?
Actually, the Hay Group training occurred before August, because I don't want to do all the history, but we've been trying to do a class and comp study. I've been here 5 years. We've been trying to do it longer than the 5 years I've been here, and we had starts and stops. Hay Group has actually done limited studies for us in the past. Having worked with them, we really like their methodology, so we had our staff, our two senior staff, Linda Cox and Nancy Rydell, train in this before August.
Okay, and I assume, was there some investment in resources or money that, did we have to pay Hay Group to do the training?
Yes, it was limited. It was limited. They don't charge a whole lot for the training,
okay,
and they'll let you do it, just not another company or another vendor.
And then, I'm sorry, is there some reason that an RFP wasn't issued after the Judicial Council directive at the end of August, and instead there was a decision to go with an RFI?
My understanding of the directive was that we should consider. So what we wanted to do was get some baseline information. Once you do the RFP, it takes longer to do it. And I didn't want to be in a position of spending 3 or 4 months to do an RFP and stop what we had been directed to start in August. So we decided that the best of both worlds would be to continue what we did in August and do an RFI to get some baseline cost information to identify vendors that could handle a job of this magnitude.
Judge Earl, if I can, when our HR office initiated the class and their efforts on August the 1st of last year, we had already been planning for at least 2-3 months prior to the August start date to initiate that, which that was already in the planning phases before the SEC report was even issued.
And then just last question, but you agree that the step towards hiring an independent entity cannot occur without that RFP being issued?
If it's option two and it's the full-blown review, it will take an RFP. If it's the hybrid option three because of the proprietary method that we're recommending, my indication with business services, we'll be able to do a sole source contract.
Okay, thank you.
Judge Jackson and Judge Walker.
You repeated that, repeatedly said, rather, that you like their methodology and that it works for AOC. Can you tell me what is it about their methodology and why does it work for us? And
it breaks, Your Honor, it breaks each judge or each position down into its most critical component parts rather than comparing one job against another job. And we believe it provides the most objective analysis of what a job is worth, which is really what this is talking about, classification. It will put, rather than, let me give you the easiest example. A lot of vendors, even the Hay Group will do this depending on cost, will simply do what they call the ABC box method. They'll send the employee the class spec and say, A, if it all applies, B, if most of it applies, C, if only a little bit of it applies, and then they'll only do what's commonly referred to as a desk audit with the ones who mark C. So they only look at the self-identified problems. And so we've never really undertaken a study of this. We didn't want to wait, or we don't want to rely on only self-identified problems. We wanted to review everybody with what they do and have a review with the supervisor. And the way to give the most objective information on that is breaking jobs into the component parts. Accountability, decision-making, and know-how. Those three are the most critical component parts. So you could rank very high in a job on accountability, but maybe that job doesn't rank as high in comparison to other jobs on the know-how or vice versa. So you get to break jobs up rather than just saying, how does that job relate in total to another job in the AOC? You get to break it up into its components parts. At its base, we believe it provides the most objective information of all the methodologies out there.
Judge Walker.
Thanks for letting me comment. I'm a little surprised at how I think this recommendation is going, so I just wanted to sort of backtrack for a moment and look at the problem in context, at least as far as the SEC saw it. I don't know if anybody's actually read a classification study. It's not a very sexy document, but it's absolutely critical and fundamental to management of a large organization like this. The examples that we gave in the SEC report about the need for classification, just as an example, if you take people that are working at AOC as attorneys, there's a legitimate question to study what they are actually doing in their jobs. Is that work that could be done by a paralegal? Is that work that could be done by an analyst? Is that really, truly attorney legal work? And so those are the kinds of issues that job position classification study looks at. And Judge Jarre is absolutely right. This is something that has to get off the ground soon because there are a number of other recommendations and structural changes that will hinge on the classification study. And so to sort of repeat some of the comments I made in our telephone conference, what predates all this is really a broken system. There was, I think it's mentioned in the report, that since 1992, the AOC has never done a full-blown classification study of the entire organization. There have been bits and pieces, I think three partial studies of different divisions, even though admittedly the HR classification function was not supported, and so it's not laying blame on anybody, it just never occurred. And so here we are, and I think I guess what troubles me a little bit about the recommendations, there seems to be a push, at least from Mr. Couch and perhaps other staff members, to go with the Hay Group, and what bothers me is if we look at the display on the screen, you know, there's estimates of $750,000 to $1 million, and that cost range is attributed to something that was said to the SEC. I would hate for anybody on this Judicial Council to base a decision based on that number. We had several management consultants in our SEC work, and one of them mentioned one day, having done classification studies, that was his estimate of what it might cost. And somehow it wormed its way into the report. The point is, I don't think anybody knows what a full-blown classification study would cost. And it would seem to me that even though there might be a little bit of delay, I really don't know why the Hay Group train is being driven down the tracks. It seems to me that the question should have been put to the Judicial Council sooner rather than later about what's the best, most transparent, objective way to approach this. And it seems to me that the best way would be to put out an RFP and find out what the real cost is, find out what the services are that could attach to a classification study, and then come back and let the council decide, yes, we want to do this. We have information now. It's going to cost $1.5 million, or it's going to cost $500,000. But right now, to base a decision on a cost range estimate that I'm looking at, would be not a good idea. It wouldn't make good business sense to me. The other drawback that I see with this hybrid approach is that it would lack, or it would be perceived as lacking objectivity, as Mr. Couch said. And I think if you have an outside classification consultant doing the entire study, you get internal consistency within the report. You're not attacked for having AOC study itself, if that's a concern. And you get a valid entire report that then the AOC can hang its hat on, and we can move forward in terms of the restructuring that must occur. And classification study has to occur because it's going to relate ultimately to a compensation study. So the other small point I would make, and it's noted in the report, to quote, the Hay Group method of job evaluation is complex and time-consuming. So if there is a desire to get on the train that's already being driven down the tracks, apparently, and go with the Hay Group, it is a complex, proprietary methodology, apparently. And just like any consulting, I think you'll find a number of different ways to attack a classification study. I'm not saying that the Hay Group isn't well qualified. They may be the best vendor out there, but we don't know what the other approaches to the classification study would be or what the cost would be. So if I had to weigh in, I'd be saying option two would be a good way for this council to go.
Judge McCabe, then Justice Hall.
All right. And
Judge Kaufman.
Thank you, Chief. First, springboarding off of your original comments, once again, thank you for the privilege to serve the branch by being an advisory member of the Judicial Council. But for my membership on the SEC, I would be in some pasture walking through the cow patties in Merced. But thank you very much. I'm enjoying the process. Number two, I'm not here to lobby or suggest that we use any particular entity to do the study today. And the reason being, in looking at the options, we should be looking primarily three factors: reliability, how expeditious can it be done, and how cost effective can it be done. Those are three primary factors that are driving this this wagon. And when I look at the three options, it's difficult, based on the limited information we have today, to determine which one. The number three hybrid using the Hay Group may be the answer, and I will readily admit, you know, I'll kick myself if you go through this process and we do something else and it ends up being three and we're using the Hay Group. But hindsight, you know, is 20/20. You just don't know. Using the inside source, option one, $0, but there's a resource problem. I get that. I think everybody recognizes that that would create some huge internal problems being able to service all of its customers if it was option one was chosen. Option two, $750,000 to $1 million. I think I made that comment in the EMP meeting that one of the consultants had said that to the SEC. And that was based on factors and the consultant's work in the industry doing comp studies himself, but that was dated. And we're in a different environment now, very competitive. Pricing has changed. The players have changed. I recognize Hay is a player in the industry, and I think they have a fine reputation. But the question for me is, for option two, is what is the current value?
I don't know. And I've heard an argument, well, it'll take 3 or 4 months. Okay, what's going to happen between now and 3 or 4 months? Since 1992, there's never been a compensation study. There have been approximately, I believe, three, last being in 2005, if I recall my information from the SEC data. So 3 or 4 months, we're now rushing to judgment because we've got to get it done in 3 or 4 months. I think this, as you've indicated, is a linchpin study that affects 12 to 14 other items that came through the SEC. So it's critical. It's important. And like any house, the foundation is the most important. So for me, I want to make sure that we get this right. I can't tell you whether number two is better than number three. One's best for me because it doesn't cost us anything. And quite frankly, I don't throw aspersions or anything at the AOC. I would be fine with them doing it at zero cost because based on the three factors I've given to you, I think we'd be able to do it, except there's a fourth factor, is you'd have to shut things down and not be able to do anything else. So one's really not a viable option. I get that. For me, it's two and three. And if we're going to make an objective, informed decision, I think we have to have information that is accurate and current. So I would be tending to ask not for an adoption of any of the three, but that RFPs be floated to find out what the current value is and then make a decision.
Justice Hull, then Judge Kaufman.
Thank you, Chief. And actually, Judge McCabe just put his finger on what, I mean, part of what we do, I think what we should do as council members is make sure we understand what the other members' points of view are. And listening to Judge Walkham and Judge McCabe, their points are weighty, but it seems to me that indeed what those comments really mean is what we probably should do is not adopt any of these options today, to take the time. I mean, we're all very anxious to implement all of the council directives relating to the SEC work, but that notwithstanding, take the time to go through the RFP process to see if a study conducted by an outside entity indeed is going to cost $1 million or is going to cost less. I would not be inclined to vote in favor of option two today and then find out that the $750 to $1 million is a good figure. That's a lot of money. And so maybe option four is let's take a look at what this is going to cost us if we have an outside entity do the entire thing.
Judge Kaufman, then Justice Miller, then Alan Carlson.
I agree with everybody, what everybody said, and I think we have to delay. The only question in my mind is that by delaying, we are delaying the classification study, which delays us doing other things. And I turn to Judge Jarr and says, is that okay? On the other side of the coin, I think Judge Rosenberg stated is that by going out for RFPs at a phone call, that basically we're doing what we're supposed to. This is government. There should be some transparency. Go out to bid, find out what's going on. We may decide that number one is the best one because of cost and time, and it's really the only choice we have. Or we might find a legitimate cost is $200,000 or $300,000. Let's take our time and do it right and delay.
Justice Miller.
Just to make sure, so if we did RFPs, we're not bound in some way that we have to accept one of those, correct?
No.
And could we do it in a way that it included option three, what the actual cost of option three would be to have the Hay Group do their limited managers and above, so that we had an exact figure for that too?
I believe we can do that. We just say we want you to bid on everything top to bottom and also bid on this small slice.
Okay.
Alan Carlson, then Judge So, then Judge Ellsworth.
I have had the privilege of doing a complete top-to-bottom study. When we merged the Muni and Superior Courts in San Francisco, we studied the entire thing. I don't remember the exact cost, but it was only $150,000 at the most, in my recollection. But that was 12, 13 years ago. We have 700 and some employees at the AOC.
Yes.
So that's $1,000 an employee to do the study? That seems too high. So I agree. Let's find out what it really would cost to do the study. They are thrilling to read, by the way, the results.
Judge So, then Judge Ellsworth.
So what's the difference between the RFP process and the RFI?
The RFI is much more general. We don't get very specific because we really can't, because we can't look like we're providing information that they can later bid on. So we were very general when we issued the RFI. In general terms, doing a classification for an organization about this size, not as specific as we'll do with the RFP. The RFP, you say, here's your deliverables. We want you to do all these things by this time frame. How much will you charge us?
And you can do the RFP by when?
It's going to take an RFP of this magnitude. We've done these in the past. It'll take 3 to 4 months to do the RFP, and what it will essentially do is stop the process that we're in right now, because we will have to dedicate, particularly the senior staff, to prepare the RFP. We have to do it in conjunction with business services. Then it gets issued. Then you have the vendor meeting where they ask questions, and if they ask significant enough questions, you extend the response deadline. So it's about 3 to 4 months for the RFP to get costing of the various different vendors.
So essentially we'll know in 3 or 4 months the cost of what we would pay to have an outside vendor do this completely.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a 3 or 4 month delay then. Mm-hmm.
Judge Ellsworth.
So as a member, past member of the SEC, I would say that as we analyzed and looked at this particular recommendation, we found this area very troubling and very significant. So that this is not something that I think we need to rush through. I think that there clearly is some significant issues to look at. As a member of the Judicial Council at this point, I not only want to know how much it's going to cost, I want to know what they're going to do for us and what level of service and what type of methodology they use. I think it's really critical for this body, not for optics. I mean, that's always important. We talk about that a lot, but I think it's more than optics here. It's doing the job correctly, picking a vendor or however we decide to do it that is best for the future of the branch. This is such a major and important issue. So I guess I would make a motion at this time, if possible, to adopt essentially what Miller said is number 4, and that is to delay and to do that process and have a report back to us not only of the cost, but what exactly we will get, what bang we're going to get for our buck, essentially.
And it would include the third option, too, the cost.
Absolutely.
For the third option.
Yes.
I would second that.
Second by Mark Robinson. Judge McCabe, did you want to say something more?
No.
Judge Baker.
Thank you, Chief. I'm a little bit confused about what the cost of the RFP process would be. Looking at this one sentence on page 4, and maybe you can help me understand this. It says the cost projection for the RFP was approximately $400,000 in 2008. What costs are associated with actually going out and obtaining the RFP?
It wasn't the cost of the RFP. The top three vendors came in between actually $374, $377, and $975. The only cost for the RFP is the staff time to issue it.
So option two, should the cost range be actually between $350,000 or $400,000 to $1 million?
Possibly.
Yes, you could, and it sort of depends on the vendor. But based on the information, we had a vendor that would offer to do it for $374 and $975 in 2008. So yes, you could have altered that to say $350, $375.
That was a limited scope.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was not the type of that we've already initiated. Where we're doing a tell me what you do with your PDQ rather than look at your class specification and just tell me if this is correct.
Okay. Well, it seems like an important conversation that we need to have then is if we adopt this motion and these RFPs come back with a range of $350 to $1 million, even considering the low end of that range, is that something that we're going to be willing to spend to get a classification study done when we have the ability to get one done with the Hay Group for $100,000 to $120,000? That seems like an important conversation that we should be having now before we vote on the motion.
Judge Rosenberg and then David Yamasaki.
Certainly is a fair question, but it's a question I think we can address at a later time.
I do support the motion. I mean, we are a governmental entity. I've served on a lot of governmental entities, and when in doubt, you go for transparency and openness and a request for proposals, and you get competitive bids, and then you make a decision. And, you know, it could very well be that we'll get a number that's a lot lower, right on, a little higher. I don't know at this point. But once we get that information, we can consider the proposals along with the other option of doing it internally or working with the Hays Group, or we can consider all these options. But as a governmental entity, we are spending the public's money, and we have to be very cautious and transparent about it.
David Yamasaki, then Judge Baker.
Thank you, Chief. So I'm a little familiar with what's involved with doing a classification study, and there's a lot of legwork ahead of time that needs to be done. And certainly, I know in the past several months, Ken's group has assembled a lot of information. So I would suggest that if, in fact, the decision is to go out and issue an RFP, I wonder if there's some of the information that's already been gathered, which whoever does it needs to assemble some information, whether some of that could be used and perhaps reduce the scope of the RFP that goes out, because a lot of time, a lot of effort will be needed if we have to start this process over again.
Thank you. Judge Baker, then Judge Jacobson.
So is there anything that would preclude the Hay Group from being one of the parties responding to the RFP?
No, absolutely not. Okay. We would fully expect that they would be.
That makes sense.
I had a couple of questions. One is, these materials in your presentation have talked about sending surveys to the employees and having them self-report on what they do. Is there a difference in these three options in the amount that the data relied on? Is self-reporting, in other words, does option two, they come in and do their own look at what people are doing, or do all three equally rely on employees self-reporting? That, I have one follow-up question as well.
It sort of depends on the methodology of the vendor, the way they're going to propose on the RFP. Even the Hay Group will do the less expensive one, the three boxes that I indicated earlier, but they also, their primary thing, their proprietary, is where they do a very in-depth analysis. Each vendor does a little different methodology. Some of them are very close to the Hay Group. Some of them only do the check a box type of thing. Based on the extensive need that we have on this, I think the way we draft the RFP, we're going to ask for an extensive review, not just relying on the class spec.
Well, I guess I'm not sure if I'm understanding your answer. What I'm asking is, do all three of these options rely equally on information from the employee self-reporting, or is there a difference? In other words, in option two, if Hay does the whole thing, do they come in and do independent verification and not rely on the employee self-description, or is that a non-variable? That's what I'm asking.
All three would be the same if the Hay Group is one of the ones in option two. Option one and option three, it's exactly the same because we're primarily doing it with Hay Group's proprietary oversight. And option two, it would depend on the vendor. Not all vendors do that, and usually it's tied to cost. The lower the cost that's proposed on the RFP, the more likely that the vendor wants to use the check-a-box method.
To what extent does the Hay Group rely solely on the employee self-evaluation?
It depends on how we draft the RFP. We would probably not want any of the vendors to rely solely on the employees checking a box that, yeah, that classification spec fits, because I don't think it suits the need based on the direction from this council about making sure we have the right people and the right jobs for the AOC. So I think the way we construct the RFP, we would say we don't want the three check-a-box method. We want employees, not all 720 like we're planning, but a good representative sampling of employees that are interviewed. And the more you do, the more employees that they directly interact with, the higher the cost will be.
Okay. And then one final question is, as to option three, is there some variation of that that could be an RFP with groups other than Hay in addition to Hay?
Yes, I think, believe on based on a previous question, if we put the RFP, we're going to ask for two things, a top-to-bottom review and also a review of the hybrid option 3, and let all the vendors bid on both of those.
Got it. Thank you.
That's the substance of the motion, is to delay the matter for that to happen with an RFP and a report back to council. I believe there was a second to this.
Yes, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, Mr. Robinson. Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. We'll see this matter back in a few months.
Chief, just one more comment. Thank you. I would just request that in the report back to the council, I'm mindful of the line in the report that says 14 judicial council directives are dependent upon the completion of the study. So I would anticipate in the report back that we would probably have a modification of the SEC implementation timelines.
In fact, Joey, could we do that for the April meeting?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding us of the timeline, Judge Baker.